Welcome to Tofty Blue View, your source for all things Everton. With me today, I have Tom, originally of Tofty Blue View fame, but now he's got his own thing going on. He's got the Tofty Blues Extra Show, which he's the main guy. He's the honcho, the head honcho. It's Tom, everybody. Welcome back, Tom. It's great to have you back, man.
Oh, nice one. It's been well too long. Like, the extra show is good, but I just miss your enthusiasm, to be honest. I just really do miss it, so I'm happy to be back on the main show.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Like, people don't realize, like, I haven't really gotten to talk to Tom in, like, months. Yeah. And so literally, so the people listening to us, like, they don't realize we, like, talked for about an hour before we even started recording, just, like, catching up on life and stuff. These people are genuinely really nice to me. It's like it's great. They're like, hey, this guy's an American blue, and he actually does videos with us. We need to guide him through this. It's kind of great. Tom, I wanted to, for the people who are listening on their podcast and can't actually see me, I wanted to let you know, I'm apologizing to the people watching on video right now. My hair is out of control. I've actually had comments on the videos about my out of control hair. I'm growing it out for the first time since I was 16. And as you know, Tom, I am a little older than 16 now. It's been a long time, and so I'm growing it out for the first time, and I think Stacy was one of them who just flat out said haircut Jerry. Oh my gosh. So yeah, it was one of the comments that somebody told me about, that John told me about. Yeah, and I was like, well, I get it, it's long, it's out of control. So apologies, everybody. I'll work on my hair game.
No, go for it. Grow it out.
Well, I really, what it is I want to grow it out, but like, kind of do something that where it's not, like, you know, offending my ears, if possible. You know what I mean? There's nothing. It's just like, I don't know. I need, like, Edward Scissorhands to shape it or something. So hopefully that'll happen in the next week or two. So now that I've got my apologies out of the way, so Tom, we talk a little bit of Everton for the intro. Mm-hmm. Saturday, Everton played two shortened matches against Sevilla and against Mainz, was it the Opel Cup?
Opel.
That sounds so much better. Oh, let me just bring my Southern American twang. Opel Cup. Yeah. So, but
Opel or Opal?
I don't know. It's spelled O P E L. So I figured it was Opel, but I'm not great on pronunciations from other languages. I didn't get to see any of them. But I've been steering clear of the preseason a bit because last year I watched every second and I wanted to wet my pants. So I've been steering clear. Have you watched any of this? Did you get to watch any of this stuff on Saturday, Tom?
Well, I watched the first one. I was in work for the second one, but I was quite fortunate to be in work, I think, to be honest, because it didn't sound very good, the first one. Well, with preseason in general, I don't like to take too much from it, obviously, because it's preseason. It's a warm-up. People think, oh my God, we're going to, like, last season, Everton win 22-0. Everyone goes crazy. Everton are going to win the league. Like, it's not a reflection of what's going to happen whatsoever. But saying that, in that hour-long game, it was good to see the players for an hour. It was weird, an hour-long game, but at least we got to see them for an hour and not 45 minutes like we usually do. So it was a little bit longer and a full game. But we did look toothless, like, really, really toothless. Like, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, as much as I love him, he hasn't been very good in pre-season so far. So we've looked a little bit toothless and not out of ideas, but a little bit out of ideas. But yeah, obviously we lost. We didn't score. We didn't create a massive amount. Calvert-Lewin had a couple of chances, which he nodded wide and over and stuff like that. But yeah, it was okay, but not perfect. And it's not going to be perfect in pre-season. Obviously, we've seen Liverpool across the park lose a few times after winning the Champions League, obviously. But it's not great. And obviously, the Mainz game as well. That was more like a reserve team. Obviously, we don't have a reserves team anymore. We have Everton under 23s. But if anything was a reserves team, that was in the Mainz game. And so I wasn't really gutted about missing that too much. But obviously, it was good to see Lewis Gibson get a goal from centre back, because I do like him, but I didn't take too much from it. Obviously, I think Morales was playing again, and people weren't happy with that. He's been playing at right back, and some people think he might start the season as our backup right back, which should be interesting. I don't know. That's a strange one, but yeah. Obviously, it was two defeats, so it was pretty disastrous. But I wouldn't take too much from it.
We brought it up some last week, or was it the week before? Well, we were talking about it, and I just keep remembering last season where they said Silva will do training sessions the day of the games. So, I mean, so if he really wanted to win these games, he wouldn't be doing these hardcore training sessions before them to tire them out. I mean, this is just fitness exercises. That's all we're looking at here, you know? So, I'm not really sweating it, you know? I get it. The people who are watching the games, you mentioned Toothless. That's the thing I'm taking from this the most, is that we're not really getting a lot of opportunities on goal. You know, and it doesn't matter that it's not really hardly it's hardly any starters. It's just difficult when you're putting in the time to watch a game and to see the team not really create a lot. It's hard not to get that weird little feeling, which is one of the reasons why I'm steering clear at the moment.
Yeah,
It's
exactly. I don't blame you, to be honest. Like, it's like watching football. It's not proper football. It's like watching, they're not really bothered about it. Like, it's kind of like you want them to be bothered, but they're not. And it's a shame, but that's the way it is in preseason. So I don't blame you for not watching
Yeah, I
it.
mean, the International Champions Cup here in America, there's so many of these amazing teams playing in America right now. It's great. It's however, let's be honest, how many of these players that are actually playing are going to be starting? Not a lot. And if they are going to be starting, they're not playing for long. They're not like legitimate. I mean, I like the fact that we got some good teams playing in America. Hopefully it's raising, but it's again, these are friendlies. You know, and they're so it's hard for me to get all. Yeah, last year we did go and watch Dortmund play against some team that wears red in Charlotte, and Pulisic scored, and yeah, I think their center back Van Dijk scored. I don't know who that red team is, but they just yeah, made me sick. But it was cool to watch Dortmund beat up on them. It was great, but other than that, I mean, I can't get too hyped about it, just because you're not seeing the best, and so it's perspective. It's perspective. Same thing about the transfer window. Because we're going to be discussing that in just a minute. Segue, everybody. Podcasters got to enjoy that segue. It was smooth like sandpaper.
Good
Oh
name.
yeah. So we're going to be starting off the show talking about the different connections that have been made to Everton in terms of incomings. Tom and I'll be discussing some names, which ones seem like they may be more imminent than others, which ones don't really seem that realistic, which ones I'm cool with, all that. I've got about nine names, and I'm just gonna leave it open at the end for Tom to just say whatever he wants. And then we're gonna talk. There has been some one of the one things that Evertonians have been completely all on the same page on has been new stadium designs that dropped last week. Dropped like, what, 3 or 4 days ago? Thursday? And
Yeah, Wednesday, Thursday,
Wednesday, Thursday? Holy hell. I've been calling him Dan Mice for a while, but I think it's Mace now. I think I'm learning. You know, with his real designs come his real pronunciation. So Tom went to consultation, and so we're just going to discuss the designs a bit and what people are saying. And then we're going to end with a lightning round with Tom. Originally, Max was going to be on here, but he had important Max stuff to do. Assuming that means four different dates he's got lined up. Just saying. Right now, he's over there shaking his head somewhere, like going, "Jerry, shut up." But yeah, so we can't do a normal quiz. We're gonna do a lightning round with Tom, though. I'm not sure if we've done a lightning round with Tom before, but
No.
so if we so this is all new Tom stuff. So we're gonna learn a lot about Tom, bearing soul. It's about time. All right, so Tom, transfer connections. Let's start with the one that seems like is the most concrete. It seems the most concrete. Was it Moise Kean from Juventus, from Juve? Once I told my kids we had a player we were hopefully getting from Juve, they flipped because I don't know why. My kids love Juventus. But so let's talk a little about Moise Kean, and do you think it's likely?
Well, at first, I remember doing a short video for the channel on the move, and I didn't. I thought it was obviously his agent is Mino Raiola, and I thought that's Raiola trying to negotiate a better contract for the player at Juve. But since then, has come some quite convincing news about a potential deal to lead me to believe, and lead a lot of others to believe, that the move is actually quite close, in the region of, I think it's 35 million, something like that, for a young player, 19 years old, not made many appearances at all, but he's done well in the ones he has. Played a couple of times for Italy as well at senior level and scored a couple of goals, which is good. But it's a bit of a gamble. Obviously, he's not Premier League proven, and if he was any good with an agent like Raiola, how long would he last at Everton before Raiola was trying to negotiate another move for him? That's a thing. Might it be another Lukaku? Obviously, Lukaku's fantastic for the club, broke records, but he always had his eye somewhere else. And that's why fans didn't endear to him too much, and I kind of think it might be the same with this player. But if we can get a few goals out of him into that pretty toothless team, and he's a really powerful dynamic attacker, and I think that's really what we need, with a little bit of a better finishing touch than Calvert-Lewin at the moment, I think. So he's something that really I'd be really happy with that one if he could pull that off.
Yeah, he doesn't. It's strange when you see him play because there are moments where his touch looks a little heavy, but then there are moments where it looks genuinely polished. That's one of the things when you watch Calvert-Lewin play, his touch looks silky. He looks very like his passing is on point and everything, but Keane looks a little bit more like a natural finisher, a little bit more clinical when you watch video of him and everything. But again, young. He's
Yeah,
very
very
young.
young guy. He's got potential, but whether that means he'll stay for a while or he'll end up moving on because of his agent, or you never know. Like, I don't want to wish him away already when he's not even joined the club. So he's young, yeah, he's got potential to grow. He's not amazing at the moment, but he's a solid young player, and he could become something amazing. So hopefully he'll do that at
Is
Everton.
this better than you expected?
I think if you pull that off, hopefully, yeah, I think that's with the news on Keane and Zaha as well. If we'll come to him, but if you could pull those two off, I think Evertonians would be genuinely delighted with the window. So I think so far it's been a slightly underwhelming window compared to what Brands was big enough. But if we could pull those off, it would really match and, if not, exceed expectations.
I'll say that's a stronger striker we'd be bringing in than I expected. You know what I mean? Like I that's a hell of a move in my I couldn't believe it when I heard we were linked with him. I was like, nah, that's gonna fade away. I get the connection, but it's gonna fade. But damn. Another one that I think is a better player than I expected, and I'm still a little concerned about the price tag, if it happens. Wilfried Zaha from Palace, who's a player. I mean, I've liked him as a player for a really long time. He's another player that my kids are super psyched about. when I told my 7-year-old, I was like, we might be. I think we just put a bid in for Zaha. He goes, Zaha? Oh my gosh, he's really good, Dad. And I'm like, yeah, he's a good player. He creates a lot of chances. But I mean, the new. I mean, we supposedly had a bid denied. Or rejected £52 million. The new bid supposedly is 55 million with Cenk Tosun and James McCarthy included. If this is true, yeah. So, because I need to include that. That may not. This may be just stupid transfer bullshit. It may not be accurate. Okay, because that's where we are right now. It's the ridiculous season. But Wilfried Zaha at that price. What would you think about that?
It's an interesting one because obviously I think the first offer was 52 million straight out, no player, and then the second one it's got up to 55 million plus Tosun, who I think the club would value at about 20 million. We bought him for about that, and I don't think they would want to take too much of a loss on him. So 15, 20 mil plus McCarthy, who I think they value about 8 to 10 mil. So It's considerably more than the first offer, and potentially as much as, if not even a little bit more than what Crystal Palace were reportedly holding out for, which was 80 million from Arsenal when they first showed interest. So it obviously drives it up quite a lot, but whether they are interested in player plus cash deals, we'll see. But I've separately from the Zaha deal, I've heard rumours about Tosin and McCarthy both going to Palace. So I do think they're two players who they would be interested in taking on, yeah, as part of the deal. But yeah, I'd be buzzing if we did get Zaha at that price tag. I'm not sure, because there was a comparison and stats I saw on Twitter quite recently about between Wilfred Zaha and Kevin Morales, and there wasn't too much difference in the goals scored and assists in the games played, which is a little bit concerning. But it depends really whether he signed as a striker or as a winger. Because obviously we're looking at both, so I'm not sure which or both positions he'd be signing into. But obviously he's versatile as well, so that's a plus. He could play up front, so he could play on the wing as well. So I'm excited about that one. Obviously he's an exciting player, but I just always think back to when he could have. I think it was when we signed Yannick Bolasie a few years ago. Everyone said we got the wrong player. We should have got Zaha and we got Bolasie, because we were at similar levels at the time, and they've just completely gone polar opposite since then. So I think we should have got Zaha in the first place, but I would be really happy if we got him now.
Hey everybody, Jerry and Turner here. For those of you listening, I'm not sure if you can tell Turner's here. Turner, can you say hey? There you go. So you know there's a child with me. It's an update as far as Zaha goes. The club has come out and said we have not made a second bid, including Cenk Tosun and McCarthy. It's very strange. It's not often that the club comes out and says, "Hey, that newspaper is wrong. That publication is wrong." They just don't do that often. It was kind of different. But just letting you know, yeah, that's the update. Turner, what do you think about that? Did you want Zaha on our team? Oh, you didn't want Zaha? Why is that? Oh, you do? Well, too bad, because I guess it's probably not going to happen. They said they don't plan to. They mentioned something about it being the end of the discussion. So it looks like Zaha may not be coming to us, buddy. Are you okay? Are you going to cry about it later? Okay. Well, there you go. There's your update, everybody. Thanks.
Yeah, this is. I was concerned because this whole time I was expecting us to go for a left-footed forward. And then I heard that the connection was Zaha, and I thought, this is not right. We're looking for a left-footed forward, you know, a left-footed wing forward. You know, that's what we're looking for. So immediately, this whole time I've been thinking Malcolm's who we're going to get, you know, and not really taking the Zaha links very seriously. I was thinking Malcolm, Neres, you know, one of those type of players. But right now it seems like it's pretty concrete. Not okay, pretty concrete. I'm just misspeaking here. There's not a lot of Malcolm buzz happening right now. Okay, the word is Zenit is talking to him right now. Again, we could be using the Zaha stuff to bring the price down on Malcolm, and Barca could be using Zenit as a, you know what I mean? That could be the reality there. I'd be concerned we don't have any left-footed wingers though. You know what I mean?
Especially, I don't want to play with Theo Walcott anymore on the right wing. And obviously we've just sold Alemayehu Lookman as well, who's an option on that wing as well. So we are short, and we do need to sign someone. And I'd be probably a little bit happier if we did sign Neres than Zaha, because I do think he's a little bit better player. Obviously he's not prem proven like Zaha is, but yeah, I think Neres fits the profile, as you say, a little bit better. But Zaha would be a good signing at both striker and on the wing. So the footy users, I'm not sure whether that's a massive stumbling point, because I do think he would be a good sign either way. But to be honest, I'd take either of them at this point of the window. There's not too long left. I'd be happy with either Neres or Zaha. But the Zaha deal, looking as close as it does, if you can pull that off, I would be made
Yeah,
though.
I did see someone, and again, I really apologize if you're this someone on Twitter, saying that they have noticed or seen where Bernard is getting more time at like center attacking mid during training right now. So if that's the case, it could be they're thinking about keeping Richarlison on the right and moving Zaha to the left and doing it like that.
Yeah,
Which I know a lot of
interesting.
people do consider Bernard a that to be, but he just hasn't played that position in a long time. You know, he's shaped like those kind of like those little diminutive playmakers, you know, a la David Silva, you know, those type of players. So and we do need more creativity through the middle, but frankly, we need more creativity everywhere for our entire attack. So I don't know if that's just that, again, that could just be, you know, spit in the wind. I don't know, but we'll see. We mentioned Malcolm, which who knows, he would be cheaper than Zaha. No idea, he'd be left-footed. No idea. And Neres, same thing, cheaper but probably more expensive than Malcolm. And I think Neres is almost a little bit bigger of a risk coming from the Dutch league than Malcolm. However, Neres was doing really well in the Dutch league, and Malcolm was not doing great for Barca. So, the least risk here is Zaha, frankly. And that's what you're paying for. You're
Yeah,
paying for a player
definitely.
in this prime. You know?
Exactly. Premier
Yeah.
League proved.
So let's move on from that forward position to the one recently vacated by Idrissa Gueye, who has ripped all of our hearts out, but we knew it was coming. That beautiful, beautiful man has walked away. He's just a professional, though. You know, he wanted to leave in January. We said, and he kept playing hard, and he played fantastically, and he played better, actually, when we denied that move. So, who are we going to bring in for him? The big money, I think, has been on that Gbamin from Mainz. I think a lot of people have said that he's going to be the one we bring in. He's a big guy, definitely is a ball winner. The video I've seen of him, though, it doesn't completely impress me as a great passer. You know what I mean? But he does a good job of pressing the ball forward, with speed. I mean, what do you think about that player
Similar to
versus somebody like Mario Lemina or someone like that?
I've not seen a massive amount of Gbamin, but I've watched some clips of him, and he's definitely he's bigger in stature than Gueye was. So I'd say, if not the same in the box to box style, he's a different physique. Really, he's kind of a different kind of thing in terms of he's a much taller player. So I'm not sure. It's hard to replace Idrissa Gueye and that kind of player who's just a little terrier. He can just chop up the midfield as well as he did, and just finished top of the tackling ranks every season. I think he was picked on the final day by
Ndidi,
Wilfred
yeah.
Ndidi. But yeah, I think it's hard to find a player like that as good as that, and we will struggle. And that's why we've got multiple in mind. We haven't really focused on one. We've got about three or four who could replace Idrissa Gueye in that position. It will be difficult, but with Gamba, I think that would be a similar amount of money to what we've sold Gueye for. So I suppose. I don't think it's a like-for-like replacement, but it would be an interesting swap to see. I'm not sure if he's quite as good as breaking of the play, but he might provide a little bit more stability, and I think a little bit more dynamic than what we've got at the moment, the likes of Morgan Schneiderlin, people like that. So I think he'd be better than those. I'm not sure if he'd be as good as Idrissa Gueye straight away. It's not going to be a case of signing a player who's going to slot straight into Gueye's role and just do the exactly same thing and settle in straight away. It's going to take time for someone to settle in and play that role, and I think we will see some transition. And maybe Delph might have to play in that position for a while. But yeah, I'd be happy with Gbamin. What I've seen of him is quite strong. Whereas some of the others, Mario Lemina, he's attracted quite a bit of interest from different clubs. Not just obviously he's done well in the Sam Southampton. I think he's done a little bit better on the Hasenhüttl, obviously a great manager in my opinion, with the pressing game. So playing that pressing game, coming from that pressing game in the Premier League, I think he would be less of a gamble, like we talked about with Zaha before, being less of a gamble, being Premier League proven. Obviously been playing that pressing game under Hasenhüttl as well, so maybe he could fit into Gueye's role a little bit better. So I'd be slightly more inclined to go for Lemina personally, as he might understand the Premier League a little bit more and be able to fit into that role, having played in that pressing role. But it'll be interesting to see who we get.
I will say when I saw Gbamin, he did strike me as more of a Silva type of center mid, you know, center defensive mid, that player. Yeah. He usually likes two big physical guys to be in front of the defense. It does seem to fit into work, but again, I don't know what the plan actually is. It could be these new names have been brought up to help get the Gbamin over the line, or it could be Lamina's agent putting his name out there. That could be a possibility. And additionally, another name who was mentioned is a Slovakian player named Lobotka, who plays for Celta Vigo. So again, if you look at Twitter, though, everybody's like, I don't think Lobotka is actually a real link. So
yeah, I'm not sure about that one. He's a bit slow as well, I think. He's quite small.
See, that's when I saw him, it didn't strike me as a normal like for like or anything. Not even a like for like, because in the player we bring in, I don't think we're looking for like for like. You know what I mean? Because I wasn't sure when Silva first came whether or not Idrissa Gueye was the fit for what Silva wanted to do. He just is a really good player and amazing at what he does, and he made things work with him. So I don't know. I'll be curious when he's starting to get pieces that fit more with what he wants to do. One other position to discuss. Kurt Zouma. Not sure if Kurt Zouma's happening, and I think a lot of us are crying into our pints over that one. I am, because he was one of our steadiest defenders last year. Our steadiest center back, anyway. It's starting to look like Zouma's not happening. And then Tomori's name was mentioned as a possibility on loan instead of Zouma. It seems like what we'd be doing there is having Mina be our starter, our regular starter, and have Tomori come in as supplemental, which is, I think, what we wanted to do last season, but Mina was injured. There's another name that was mentioned yesterday on Twitter of John Stones as us having asked about him. I don't know which of those is actually real, man. Do you know, do you have any thoughts on this at all? What do you actually think is going to happen for our center back situation?
Obviously need one. Obviously Zoom is gone. Jagielka has been let go as well, so we obviously need backup, and Holgate. He could stay and play at centre back, but he wasn't very impressive when he gave away the penalty the other day. That was pretty amateur, at best. So I was disappointed with that. But I think Tomori did quite well. I think he was on loan at Derby last year under Frank Lampard and did quite well.
I think that's the same player I'm thinking of.
I'm not sure if he played at centre back or right back, because you can't play at both. But obviously he'd be signed. Obviously Zouma had done that in the past as well. But I do think it'd be a kind of Zouma minus 3 years if he signed Tomori. And what we want is a player kind of in his prime, ready like Zouma was. And if you can't get him back, which would be devastating, Tomori's a different kind of sign. He's kind of one for the future, one who would develop into the squad, whereas Zouma was squad ready. And I do think we need a squad ready centre back. So I wouldn't be as bright a prospect as Tomori is. I would be tempted to go for someone a little bit more.
For those of you listening, I just dropped my pen in the middle of Tom speaking, and it scared the hell out of me. And sorry. And you can leave that in if you want. Just because I'm an idiot. Anyway, Tom, I apologize for interrupting you. If Tomori's probably not, do you think this is going to be one of those that just comes out of nowhere and we hear Everton have acquired so-and-so on loan just out of nowhere, and that's the way it's going to work, the way Zouma happened last year?
It could be, yeah. It could be. Like, Zouma was kind of a shock on the final day, and I think it probably will go to the final day because there's no one solid being mentioned of interest just yet. And to sign, I've dropped my bloody iPhone as well.
You are just a disaster right now, man.
Literally. I hope you don't drop anything else, but your thing starts falling off the wall, doesn't it? I think if we were to sign someone squad ready, it will cost a fair bit of money and a fair bit of negotiating as well. I don't think anyone with a squad ready centre back would be willing to sell. So it would be a difficult one. But I think it might go to the final date, and if we do get someone, great. But if we don't, we've got three, haven't we? We've got Key, Mina, and Holgate, and I think we do need another one. But you never know. We've got like Lewis Gibson there, Morgan Feeney. We've got a couple in the under-23s team who could come up. But if we don't sign one, it's not the end of the world. But we do kind of. We could deal with one, so it'll be interesting to see whether we go in for one on the final days of the window.
I was going to ask if you thought Feeney or Gibson had a shot, because and what's really going to be interesting is if Holgate definitely is staying. See, I was under the impression he was definitely going to be staying, and that's just the way it is. But then performance was not fantastic the other day with what I was reading, and Silva confirmed it by saying it was a really silly penalty to give away. And he does that every once in a while. He has done that before. I know when was it last fall, early in the season, he just made a lot of silly mistakes, giving away, you know, not tracking defenders who were making runs behind him. Just a lot of just amateur stuff that just brain farting. You know what I mean? I'll be really curious as to what we do about center back, because I know a lot of people, that's what they feel like should be our first purchase. That should be our first order of business right now. And I know Gibson has played well, and a lot of people are high on Feeney. I can't imagine us going in with two of those three out of Holgate, Gibson, and Feeney. I could see Feeney and Gibson going out on loan, because I feel like it's maybe they need a loan, you know? Anyway. So one thing we really... Oh, and one other thing about center back. Gbamin technically played center back a lot in the past. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's only recently become like a center defensive mid. So, yeah, that's a thing. So there maybe is some versatility with him as well. One thing we haven't discussed at all is right back. We've mentioned that Tomori technically could deputize there if need be, but we haven't really. There was a player that people had mentioned, the right back from Atletico Madrid. What is his name? Is it Arias? Mentioned. Arias, idea if that's actually happening. It's been totally silent because of all the noise on these attacking players. So it's starting to look like there are defensive reinforcements that come in are going to be the ones that kind of fly in under the radar.
Yeah, hopefully, unless there's no one else. Alves is still going. Danny, he hasn't got a club. Just please snap him up. I know he's dead. He's still at it. He's still at his best. Why Barcelona ever let him go is beyond me, because he's still, what is he, 34, and he's still at his best, in my opinion. He's still flying. So he doesn't fit what Brands are trying to do whatsoever. But if we don't sign anyone else, please sign Danny Alves.
That'd be a heck of a move. I know just the idea of being able to sign him just kind of makes everybody like grin and be like, you know, Danny Alves is on our team. You know, we'd all have that goofy giggle, I think, but it wouldn't really be solving our right back issue for the future. When I think a lot of people, that's a position to be concerned about, because right now Coleman, you never know which Coleman you're going to get. There was a stretch where he was not impressive last season, and then there was a stretch where he was. So maybe he's just getting older and he's going to have some consistency issues, and that's just the way it is. He's going to be a great player, and maybe he'll struggle. Maybe we just need somebody we can believe in, and I think that's going to be a purchase. You know?
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be an investment, someone for the long term, because obviously we've got Kenny out on loan in Schalke, but I'm not sure if he will be the long-term right back for Everton. We need someone perhaps a little bit more quality, and obviously that's going to be a difficult one as well, because there's not been too many names mentioned. Obviously, I'd be happy with Arias, but there haven't been too many names mentioned, and that's kind of like before the window. Obviously, strikers are a priority, but after that, right back for me is definitely, because Coleman, as you say, is a little bit consistent sometimes, and we really need someone to push Coleman, because it's not good enough just him kind of banking on that spot and being inconsistent week in, week out.
Any other names you want to mention? I know there was the young Brazilian that we couldn't bring in even if we purchased him, we wouldn't be able to bring him in until January anyway, because he's not old enough. Trying to remember his name.
Jesus.
Somebody, Jesus, I saw that, and I'm like, well, I'm fine with Jesus on our team. It's get our own Jesus. Because he's supposed to be a brilliant young player, but we'd be dropping like 40 million on him if we.
Yeah, I'd be happy with that one though, because obviously 40 mil for a 17-year-old is absolutely just ridiculous. But the likes of Barcelona, Man City,
that's the type of purchases
them, so,
they make.
You never
and
know.
That's the type of purchase we don't make. Yeah. And the idea of getting into that league is that's exciting. That is cool. So, any other names you want to mention?
Interesting. Oh, who is that? What happened to Sebastian Sosa? Where's he gone? There was the work permit issues, but obviously. I thought that was nearly done, but I think obviously the work permit issues are complicated things, and that's just gone to the tip basically for now. But apart from that, I don't think so. I think obviously there's a good few free agents still out there. I'm not sure if anyone fits the bill, but I had a little list of them. There was some really interesting ones, and obviously they wouldn't be a first option. They'd be kind of a backup. If we couldn't get anyone else, then we would dip into the fee transfer market. But the likes of Danny Alves, Ribery, Balotelli, Danny Welbeck.
But you know that everybody's going to be worried we're going to bring Welbeck in. You know what I mean?
yeah. No, literally, hopefully, if there's no one else. But yeah, Juanfran, right back. Marcus Llorente, there's Gary Cahill with Rabonny, Manny Fernandez could come back, Lewis Holtby. There's a few good free agents out there that could be interesting, so you never know if you can't sign anyone.
Yeah, I'll be curious. I feel like we always get those big long lists, but we rarely actually bring in any of those. You know, I remember there was one year we wanted a number 10 so bad, and we didn't, and then we were linked to one, a French free agent, like it was after the window had shut and we had not gotten Yarmolenko, and they were connecting us to this French player, and I cannot remember who it was, but I just remember getting all pumped thinking, we gotta get him, we gotta sign him, and then Martinez was like, nah, we're going with who we got, and I was just like, kidding me, if that's the moment I was thinking about. It was awful. So anyway, all right. Well, I'm really curious if the free agents happen. That would be.
Wonder who that French guy was as well. Who did he sign for in the end? Do you remember?
Is it Clement Grenier? Is
this a number
10? Just a really smart passing player. So if that's who I'm thinking of, I don't know. He was definitely a veteran. Like he had played for a long time. You know what I mean? So. Anyway, all right. Yeah. So that's it for our transfer connections. Make all kinds of American cartoon references that you want. Tom and Jerry. Yeah. Right. Yes. People have been saying it for years, Tom. We just haven't acknowledged it. All right. So, Tom, let's talk about the new stadium plans. Last week were revealed, and they look pretty. Looks really nice. I don't have a lot of, it's a little bit more modern than I was expecting, but then if you look at Dan Meese's other designs, it makes sense that it would be, you know. He's kind of bringing this blend of modernity and tradition, which is what I think is what they want out of this stadium. I, for some reason, I didn't make it to any of the consultations about the stadium, but you did. So can you talk a little bit about exactly what went down in those? Because I'm just curious as to this whole process, because I have no idea.
Yeah. So basically, I think it was Wednesday night, there was a meeting at the Titanic Hotel, which is very close to Bramley Moor Dock, and where the stadium is meant to be happening. Select season ticket holders who'd be invited. Obviously, Max was there at that. I wasn't there, so I won't be able to talk about that. But they did a little tour, and the tour's still going on, of the basically a porter cabin that's being placed in different locations around Merseyside, to show people the plans for both the new stadium and for Goodison Park, and what's going to happen. And it's really cool. So like, it's kind of, you walk in, there's loads of boards, information boards, and there's also a VR to show you around the new stadium, which is great. But Yeah, it looks really interesting. It showed you everything from transport, how they're going to establish transport links from the city centre and elsewhere to the new stadium. I think it's 10 or 15 minutes walk from Sandhills train station, which is close by.
I love how I'm nodding like I know where that is. I'm like, yeah, definitely. That's close to there. Yeah.
No, it's a train station that some people get off of Anfield and Goodison anyway. So it's close to them. To L4 anyway, where we're based. Obviously, it's just towards the water. So it's basically like a little bit of a straight line from Goodison and Anfield, just towards the water, and that's where we're looking to be honed. But yeah, there's
being that close to Anfield, are we going to be catching any smells of urine or anything that we have to worry about, like drifting down the road?
We're getting further away from them, so that's great. It's just,
hey, I'm definitely down with that.
A game and have to look at their stadium, which I'll be really excited for that. But yeah, there was loads of information. It was kind of like, it was how they're going to even do it. They're going to have to dredge one dock and then fill it. One of the water channels anyway. I wasn't expecting the plans to be so surrounded with water, and because obviously it's on a dock, so it's going to have water involved, but I kind of thought they would dredge the whole thing and not leave, they'd only leave the obviously the waterfront, but they're kind of building it around the water because there's a lot of kind of heritage people, obviously World Heritage, Liverpool's a World Heritage site, and UNESCO, people who organise that have threatened to take it away from Liverpool if we build this new stadium. So Everton have done everything they can to try and go along with their guidelines kind of thing. There's some buildings that are there at the moment. There's an old hydraulic tower which is being abandoned, and Everton are planning to even, I think they're going to like kind of revitalise that and use it as an exhibit kind of thing. So they're doing everything they can to make it as green as possible, sustainable, and kind of preserve as much as they can. But so obviously it's great. It looks amazing, and the VR was really cool. That was my favourite part. Obviously it was kind of like, wow, it was really cool. Like, I've done VR before, but for the stadium, it was just like, oh my god! Like, I didn't want to take it off. I just wanted to stay there. I was like, can I just watch a match? But you kind of like showed us around the stadium. You could stand in the center circle of the pitch itself and look around the stands, and it was so cool. It was really good. Like, kind of symmetrical as well. Obviously, you've got the stand coming, the part that says Everton coming out of the back. But you could look at like a kind of a bird's eye view in the sections that obviously they're not named yet, but the sections, and there's a massive media gantry going along the whole line of the pitch, which reminded me of the one in the Nou Camp, which overlooked the pitch, but not to draw a comparison to the scene from the Nou Camp, but I think it just got a little bit exciting, honest, but it was really amazing, really good just to have a look at it all, and just it was really caught my eye. And even the stuff they're going to do to Goodison Park as well, that was quite a big part of the whole exhibition. There was a few boards on that because what are you gonna do? And it's very ambitious, the plans, what they're gonna do with Goodison Park, and if you can pull it off, it'd be great. But obviously, a massive club with the community, Everton community is one of the best football club community projects in football in general. But what the plans to do basically is turn the pitch itself into a park. Even though they've got Stanley Park right there, but it's a park, and they'd still have the kind of centre circle kind of thing, and they'd have a little channel either side, and they'd have the big sign saying Goodison on top of the park end. They'd keep those letters and just kind of put them up on display, and they'd have new housing around the outside where the stands are. They'd have office space, possibly a health centre as well for the NHS. And I think at this stage, they're just trying to kind of push everything and kind of like just make it as appealing as possible to the public. Obviously, there's a very, very early consultation stage, but it does look very appealing. It just got me really, really excited, to be honest.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how they would be able to utilize Goodison in a way that felt organic, a way that felt natural. You know what I mean? It didn't feel like, okay, this is clearly an old stadium, and we're really trying to do something with it. So it's not like square peg, round hole, that kind of thing. So I would be really curious to see the plans for that. For some reason, I just feel like that's just as difficult, you know, trying to
trying to revitalize and repurpose in a way, you know? So is there anything about the new stadium, the Bramley Moore designs, that give you a little pause where you're like, I don't know about that? Anything where you're kind of worried? Anything where you're like, well, that's not my taste, and my taste is impeccable? So anything at all that you were a little worried about?
Well, there's not been much concerns displayed by many Evertonians. The whole thing, as you said, was mainly positive. Well, I think altogether positive. But one of the things that was interesting was obviously going to leave plenty of the water there. And having a look around, it looked like water next to a football stadium. Obviously, it's kind of revolutionary. There's not much like that. There's obviously a stadium with water all around it. You've got to put up big fences because there can be. Obviously, the days of football hooliganism is the majority of it is gone, but it's dangerous to have water right next to a football stadium. You can have fights between fans, you can have all sorts. You can, and I'm sure after an Everton match, some fans would want to jump in the water. But
I was thinking the same thing, or be thrown in, you know what I mean? Like this,
So I think safety would have to be taken into account massively, because some of the photos, like I love that photo where there's the little kids looking up at the stadium and they're sitting on the edge, but sitting on the edge with no fence, it's kind of like, well, that's asking for trouble. I know we're not like Liverpool fans throwing people into fountains, but you've got to take safety into account. And I think that was the only thing where it was kind of a bit like, oh, really? But apart from that, it just looked amazing. Like to have a stadium on the waterfront just there. I was expecting big things, but that exceeded my expectations in general, yeah.
I know, the only thing that I've heard that was, because I had not heard about the preponderance of water and, you know, how they're going to deal with fencing and all that. So that's a new concern to me. I think the only thing that I've heard was it's aesthetic-based, where if you're looking from that same angle you described from that picture, that the particular font from like old school Everton badge, you know what I mean? I think a lot of people were saying, I don't know about that font, you know what I mean? Because it feels like old Everton. So, but that's splitting hairs. And frankly, I don't care. The idea of just a big fuck off stand, you know what I mean? You know, what I guess has been affectionately called Blue Wave in the past. I think maybe now it's Blue Nami. It's going to be as close to the field as close to the pitch as is possible, as is legal. So that's great, because I think everybody this whole time has been like, look, I want to have the atmosphere that Dortmund tends to engender, you know. And I got the and at the same token, Goodison.
You know,
and I think that's what is that. Those are the attempts, you know. I'm assuming they're going to call it the Alcaraz Stand. oh, Antoline, how we remember Kiev. and we don't want to.
Just opposite Tony Stand as well.
Yeah, I gotta have that. Oh, that little dance. I mean, it was. I was camping when so I was in the process of coming from the mountains and traveling, and so I'm sitting here trying to drive. And I'm trying to get my wife to check Twitter on my phone so I can see the designs, you know, and we don't have signal half the time because it's the mountains of Virginia, North Carolina. And so I'm just like, I just need to see what's going on. I'm dying here. You know, I remember last year it was over. I'd gone camping for my anniversary with my wife, and it was more about like we had no signal at the campsite, and our YouTube channel was like this close to getting 1,000 subs.
Yeah.
It was like this close, and you know, Toffee Blues John was sending me messages, hey man, we're really close, and I'm like, I'm not gonna be able to know you know what I mean. So yeah, it seems like all the cool Everton stuff happens when I go camping. So we'll see what happens coming up. I may need to fit in a camping trip before the end of transfer season, so that brands can so that brands can kind of make everything happen. Almighty brands. Sorry, bronze. Mispronouncing God's name. It's awful. Gad. So I guess anything else on new stadium stuff? Maybe Mr. Meese. I'm going to say it, Meese.
Well, he's just built Meese, mice. Mice.
It looks like mice, but I've heard people say Meese is the right way. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. So, I've always said mice as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so I've heard it's Meese, although that sounds like someone joking about the plural of moose. but maybe it's right. Anyway, sorry, Dan. You're the man. I'm not mocking your name. You're a badass. You've somehow pleased Evertonians. Pretty impossible feat. So, yeah, man, just smiles abound on this project, you know? And the idea of everybody, so many, like, you know, cynical Sammy saying it's never going to happen, you know? I feel like this reaction was worth the wait.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely. And, yeah, it was kind of like, it's taken a while, and this process will take a while. Everton fans are going to have to be patient, which we're not very good at in general, but no, we're going to have to be really patient with this one because it's a massive project, dredging a whole dock, filling it in, just building this. We haven't even got proper investors yet. We haven't even got a plan sorted, but if we can make it happen for the targets, I think the target as well, we haven't even mentioned, is like 2024. That's very ambitious.
Yes, that's
to
really
get this all
soon.
Done in 5 years. It's really ambitious. I think that might just kind of be a statement, as if to say that's when we want it to happen. Whether it will happen then or much later, will be interesting to see, but I don't think, I would not say it's not realistic, but it's kind of like it's ambitious. I'm not sure if that's possible, but it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, it is. Anything will be a while off. I know that. I don't know if you've seen that video from a while ago where I think it was the Liverpool fans who went to Bramley Moor Dock, and they made the video mocking and said, "Oh, look, there's a cone. There might be two next year." It will take a while.
Were they even on the wrong dock too? They weren't even in the right place either. Yeah. It's like, if you're gonna troll us, do it right, guys. Damn. Open a map. Google Maps should help you do this if you understand.
Yeah. Yeah, the fellow looked like he was too old to know what Google Maps was, but he was just, yeah, it will take a while, we're going to have to be patient, but it's definitely going to be worth it. But at this stage, we're all excited about it, but we've got to be realistic and think that as amazing as it is, it's in the future, well in the future, and we're going to be nearly 10 years older by the time it happens, so we've just... fingers crossed, but like, it's not set in stone yet.
I'll be fully grey so by that point.
Yeah,
because I'm on my way now, folks.
Yeah, it'll be
yeah, I'll just keep doing, keep growing.
Yes.
Oh, there was this player for the Carolina Panthers a long time ago named Rod Smart, and he used to be in the XFL. And the XFL was like this league that WWF started, like Vince McMahon started for American football.
Yeah.
And he had, and you could put on your jersey like a nickname or whatever. And his nickname was "He Hate Me." So he put "He Hate Me" on the back, but he ended up playing for the Carolina Panthers. And his little player photo, his hair was so big, it like got cropped out of his picture on his like player graphic. And I was like, I love Rod Smart. He's my favorite Panther ever, man. So maybe I'll go that big. So when you crop my picture into our little template, my hair will be too big. All right, so we're all looking forward to Everton's new stadium, Nando's Arena. That's I have no idea. I was like, let me think of the goofiest stadium sponsor I could at the moment that rings true with British people, because honestly, if I say, like, I don't know, Sheets Stadium or something, nobody's gonna get it over there. But yeah, Americans be like, oh yes, that's the gas station place. Yes. So all right.
We have Shell.
Oh, you have Shell. Yeah, we have Shell too, but Sheets is a place where you can go and like get like cheap dinner as well, and then you have like this touch screen thing where you can get like these crazy like sandwiches like 24/7. So yeah, but it's a little pricey. And I always heard Nando's, going out and getting a Nando's sounds I want to be able to say Cheeky Nando's and not sound like a douchebag.
Yeah. The Cheeky Nando's Arena. Oh.
Oh.
I pay for it to be called the Cheeky Nando's Arena. That'd be horrible.
Nando's totally does sound like the place you go late night after you've been like partying pretty hard. It does sound
Yeah.
like that kind of place.
Nabsy is in Liverpool. Nabsy
Oh
is the one.
yeah?
That's the one. Yeah, that's the one in Liverpool. That's where you get food poisoning after a night out.
We can never use them as a sponsor now, Tom.
Sorry. Sorry, Nabsy, whoever you are out there. But yeah, that's where you get. If alcohol poisoning isn't enough for you, then food poisoning. Yeah, that's what everyone fancies after a night
Nice. This
out.
is good to know. Good to know. Put that in my memory bank for later. Everybody, welcome to the lightning round. I will not be answering questions because you get more enough of my personal life as it is. But we're going to do lightning round with Tom. There are going to be 20 questions. A lot of them tend to be entertainment based, just because that's the way I roll. But every once in a while, we go into some other places. Sometimes it's Everton based questions. Sometimes it's just sports. So Tom has agreed to answer every question and be sure to divulge as much about himself as possible on these questions. Nah, they're just random questions. We're not going to learn anything about Tom's political affiliation, his blood type, any of that stuff. So if you were hoping to learn Tom's shoe size, apologies. This is not the show this time. All right, so
Not if anyone's
Tom,
wondering.
and just what'd you say?
9F shoe size, if anyone's wondering.
9F. There we go. I'm really worried about the people who are wondering
That's weird.
that. All right, so let's kick in with that intense music. Let's get that going. Tom, just answer the questions as quickly as you possibly can.
Yeah.
And we will begin now. So, Tom, Goodfellas or The Godfather?
Goodfellas, original.
Favorite non-Everton team that's not Marine?
Barcelona.
I saw that coming. What was your favorite show as a kid?
Kids show. Oh, Drake and Josh.
Okay. Lord of the Rings, are you a hobbit, elf, dwarf, or a man?
I'm embarrassed to say I've never watched it.
Wow.
Hard, isn't it?
Okay, so that's the answer I didn't expect.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, so obviously, if I ask you Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter,
Harry Potter, because I've only
you
watched Harry
say
Potter.
you've only watched Harry Potter. There you go. Harry Potter or Star Wars?
I've not watched Star Wars. I've watched one Star Wars or two, so I'd say Harry Potter again.
Okay, Harry Potter again. Harry Potter or Game of Thrones?
I couldn't get into Game of Thrones. Too many characters. Harry Potter.
So Harry Potter wins the nerd geek battle there. Sopranos or The Wire?
Oh, I've not watched the majority. I've not watched all of both, but I go with Sopranos.
I keep forgetting, just to cut in on lightning round right now, I keep forgetting that Tom's a reader. Damn. There's all these like entertainment, like TV based stuff, and I forgot he reads like me, and crap. None of these are book questions. Okay. Anyway, favorite non-football sport that's not running.
To watch or to play?
Whatever.
Formula One.
Ah, unexpected. What's your dream place to live, Tom?
Barcelona again.
Ah. So this question is inspired by Avatar: The Last Airbender. Are you water, fire, air, or earth?
I'm not watched it either.
You don't have to. You don't have to know. What's your personality? Water, fire, air, or earth?
Yeah, I'd say.
Air.
Yeah.
I think I saw that coming. I
Yeah.
was gonna say air or water for you.
Yeah.
Recommendation for when I visit England. What should I do? Besides go to watch Marine.
There you go. That's what I was gonna say. Go to watch Everton.
Something non-football.
Go for a drink in the Kazimia Gardens.
Drink in, how do I spell that?
K-A-Z. I.
Okay. I-M-I?
Yeah, E-R.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I had to write that down because that is not anything anyone has mentioned. Sure, Paul mentioned the Gentleman's Club one time and I fell out of it. All right, so next, Tom, do ghosts exist?
Yeah.
They do? Okay, good to know. Who's your favorite non-Aboriginal player of all time?
Messi. Or
Ronaldinho. Ronaldinho?
Close.
Gotcha. Who's your favorite manager character of all time? Like, those managers who were just fun to watch at press conferences and stuff. The players, the managers where you're just like, laugh your ass off and give good sound bites. Who's your favorite manager character?
I really don't want to say Jürgen Klopp. But he's a great fella. It's just horrible that he's associated with those rats across the park. But probably Jürgen Klopp.
Ah, wow. And a unicorn just died. Next, what's the scariest movie you've ever seen?
Oh, that's interesting. I'm trying to answer quickly, but it's so hard. I think my first ever horror movie, probably when I was a kid, because I'm okay with horror movies now, but when I was a kid, I watched Sinister, and I shit myself.
Wow. Ah. Let's hope you got cleaned up. Yarmolenko or Raquelman? Speaking of scary.
Raquel May, because it went on even longer than
I had a feeling you were going to go there. I knew. I feel like most like hardcore Evertonians would say Raquel May on that. Aliens, are they a thing?
It has to be. It's ignorant not to think they don't.
All right, so just for the record, Tom called me ignorant for asking. No, man. I'm always curious to see what people believe in when it comes to that kind of stuff. So, what's the best comedy show of all time?
Oh, Jesus. Friends, probably.
Friends. That sounds like our buddy David. That sounds like David would say. Last question. If you had to pick one of these two managers to come manage ever, Moyes or Martinez to return, which one, if they were to return tomorrow, would you prefer?
David Moyes. Just because of all the good times and the win as many bad times as the way with Martinez, like the 4-0 derby defeats, I think David Moyes.
That was such a tough one because I was like, he kind of represents those managers, those older managers who are not very progressive, older ways of doing things, sort of stopgap solutions for a while. And Martinez still has this aura of still being able to fix things and still think progressively and everything like that. And I think if you talk to Martinez, he would say, I needed more time to buy more players at Everton to get the players that I wanted, all that stuff. I was trying to figure it out. I was thinking because I didn't know which one to say.
Just love David Moyes. He just encapsulated, at the time, he encapsulated everything about Everton, and he was just such a good fit for the club. It's just to look back on the good times. He probably wouldn't be a good fit anymore at all, but just for nostalgia's sake.
Yeah, see, I'm with you on that. Also, Martinez was one of the more frustrating.
Yeah.
Watching some of those games was
tough. That first season was really good, but apart from that, it was just horrible.
The rest of it was just like, you know, we just pass it around the box. Ugh. I can still see it when I shut my eyes. So, I guess that is it. That's the end of the rapid fire stuff. Next time, not as many entertainment questions.
I'm so sorry.
Gotta go books. Oh, I meant to tell you, the book you recommended by Stephen King, I read.
Which one was
that? I read that one. The one about JFK, the time travel.
Oh,
Yeah,
that's really
I
good.
read it.
Did you watch it as
Yeah.
well, James
No,
Franco?
I haven't watched it. I have not watched it.
A good
I
save.
read the whole thing, though. I read it quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big book, but I read it
Yes.
quickly. It's a quick read.
Yeah, it's really good. It's like it's different. It's different, but it's really good. Stephen King,
Yeah.
anything he does is just genius.
Yeah. He's pretty brilliant. I'm actually about to reread the book of novellas that he did, Different Seasons, I think is what it is. That's the
Oh
one
yeah.
that has Rita Hayworth and Shawshank Redemption.
Oh.
That's that's one, Apt Pupil, The Body,
Yeah.
and there's another one about something Breathe or something. I can't remember, but it's like,
Yeah.
yeah. And The Body was what Stand By Me was based on, the
Oh
film.
yeah.
So yeah, so they made three movies about three of the four of those. So
Yeah.
I'm gonna reread that soon. Yeah. All right, man. Well, I guess that's it.
Yeah.
I don't want to go. So I'm gonna let you pick out which track. I had one lined up for myself to pick, but I want you to pick it because you haven't been on the show for a while, and I feel like we need a little Tom flavor.
Oh no,
So
you pick yours if you want.
no. Tom, what track do you want to play out to? Because I think one time you introduced me to She's a Belter, and that was great. So, and then they were like, "Hey, let's do an Andre Gomez song about it." So, because of you, I knew about that. So now I know who Jerry Cinnamon is and all that stuff. So, what are we wrangling out to on this
Oh,
pod?
right. I'm gonna stick with me in the music. There's a few Evertonians that I know who are in a band who are getting quite big at the moment, and I'm gonna plug them. I think anyone should give them a listen. They're called Spin. Lads who work in
Spin.
Finch Farm. They work in Finch Farm car parks. Big blues. Really sound fellas, and definitely should give them a listen. So, let's say for this song, the big one is called Notice Me. So I could probably play out of that one.
Is it Notice Me?
Notice Me.
Okay. Notice Me by Spin.
Yeah.
All right. And the way we can get away with this is we do a little bit of commentary about it. And what kind of music is this? You said indie, like,
It's kind of
so
like feel
just.
good indie. Like it's kind of like not proper like exclusive indie for the only indie people. It's kind of like feel good music. It's kind of really nice chilled stuff.
Who do I compare it to if I'm
Ooh.
trying to sell someone on it?
They base themselves on people like the Smiths. So yeah, they're kind of a little bit like that. We're kind of the Smiths, the Cure kind of thing.
Ah, it's funny. I normally don't think of The Cure when I think of feel good
Yeah, they're not.
indie
Yeah,
music.
they're not really feel good indie, but they kind of take inspiration from them. The music isn't really like the Cure's, but they're taking inspiration from them, and they're kind of like their own thing. So
Yeah.
definitely give them a listen. Really good stuff.
Okay. All right. Well, as we close out the show to Notice Me by Spin, and I'm hoping whenever I go over to England, I actually get to meet these people. That'll be
Yeah,
awesome.
you will.
That'd be great. We're gonna wrap up the show to that. So everybody who's been listening, we appreciate you listening to us. If you haven't subscribed to the Toffee Blues podcast, we'd really appreciate it if you would. That way, you just get notifications when another pod drops. It's just kind of a cool thing to do. Plus, numbers help us eventually get sponsors. And that would be cool if we had sponsors, of which at the moment we don't have many. You know, I think Max probably has personal sponsors. He's probably got a few bands that play his like background music as he walks around. If anybody's got background music as they walk, it's Max. That would be great if you could go ahead and do that. Also, if you're like, wow, these guys sound interesting, I'd like to see their faces. You can see that on YouTube. So if you're like, yeah, if you go there, you can see what Tom looks like, and you can actually say, wow, Jerry, haircut, which is what Stacy has already said apparently as well. So yeah, there's that. If you want more Tom Toffee Blues Extra Show, you can see that on the YouTube channel. They do podcasts of those as well? Do those get wrapped into pods as well?
They did, yeah. We haven't done one for a while, but they did, yeah.
Okay, so every once in a while those will drop as pods, so keep an eye out for Tom stuff. So if you definitely want the Tom content, go to YouTube. It'll definitely be there for you. Yeah, and I think that's about it. Follow the Toffee Blues on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Check out the Toffee Blues website. There's all kinds of all things Everton content on there. So yeah, and I think that's all I got. So Tom, thank you, bud.
Thanks,
nice talk.
Cheers, nice one. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Tom's gonna go enjoy some sort of television program that rhymes with Dove Byland.
Oh no.
I don't know, Ben. Oh. Ben, cut that out. Tom doesn't want people to know that he actually watches that. All right. Oh, hoy, here's the deal. I will be watching an illegal stream of Love Island. Tom will apparently be going to a monster truck show. So, yes, manly stuff with his lady friend. So I guess that's it. Tom, thanks so much, man. I'll talk to you later.
Oh, nice one. Cheers for that, yeah.
All right, everybody. That's it. Fingers crossed for the transfer window being awesome. There's not much time left. Marcel Brands, pray to him. Do your thing. All right, for everybody, Toffee Blues, we're out. Bye.